we're not exempt from the storms of life. We experience things in our life many times that we wish we didn't have to go through. But I'm thankful because of that relationship we have in the Lord. He says, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you. That anchor holds, and we can survive and get through whatever life may throw at us. Any word on anyone's heart, a testimony before we get to the word? Appreciate the good service thus far, and thankful for the good crowd we have today. You pray for me. I always contend that if you will open your hearts and your minds to God's word, that you can leave here with something that will be a benefit to you. Maybe one thing, maybe two things, but if you'll listen and let God speak to your heart, He will. I was thinking this week as I was thinking about and praying about the message for today, and I was thinking about how that, you know, there are those who they like to debate all the time. You know, they want to debate about this, debate about that, and there are those who like to debate the relevance of the Old Testament scriptures versus the New Testament scriptures. And I'm just going to begin this morning with this statement that the Word of God, this entire Bible, it is in complete harmony. It's in complete harmony. And we often see what's recorded in the New Testament is really just a repetition of something that has been prophesied or something that was wrote about in the Old Testament. And its purpose, or that the Lord, I believe, has in that, is that it might reinforce His message to us or help us in a teaching that He has for us. And, you know, our article of faith, Brother Danny mentioned it in our Sunday school this morning. It's the very first article of faith. But it says that this word, the Bible, it is our only rule of faith and practice. Nothing else. This is it. So I want to show you what I mean by the Old and New Testament. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Isaiah in the Old Testament. Isaiah chapter 40. And I want to share a few verses there. Isaiah chapter 40, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 3. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 3 says this, "The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, and make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." Now turn with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 3. Luke's Gospel, chapter 3, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 4 there. And this is what's recorded. "As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah, the prophet, saying, The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough way shall be made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." Not verbatim, but awfully close to what I read to you in the Old Testament. My thought for this morning, using both of those scriptures, since they virtually say the same thing, my thought for this morning is that our Lord is a leveler. Our Lord is a great leveler. Well, what is a leveler, Pastor? Well, somebody who levels. But what I want you to understand are the definition that I want to use, and there's several for the word leveler, but the one that I want to use this morning is a leveler is someone or something that reduces or eliminates differences among individuals. That's the definition that I want you to think about as I speak today. My text from Luke's Gospel, it is a message. It's a sermon. I'm re-preaching somebody else's sermon. I'm sorry. But this is a message from John the Baptist. So I'm kind of looking to his message today. This is a message from John the Baptist. And I'm going to tell you the ending. I'm going to tell you the ending right up front, and then I'm going to fill in what's in between as I share this morning. As important as John the Baptist is to the history of Christians, and as important as John the Baptist is to the Baptist faith, the focus, his focus, John the Baptist's focus, it was all about Jesus. It was all about Jesus, as well as should be our focus. In fact, to prove that to you this morning, in John's Gospel in the first chapter, and I believe it's the 27th verse, this is what he said. He said, "He it is who cometh after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchets I am not worthy to unloose." That's what John the Baptist said. Now, let me tell you a little bit about John before I get into his message. We all know the story of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We hear it typically around the Christmas holiday season. And we know what a miraculous birth the birth of Christ was. But I want us to realize this morning that the birth of John the Baptist, it was also a miraculous birth. And I want you to understand why I say that. His father's name, it was Zacharias, and his mother's name was Elizabeth. And in Luke chapter 1 and verse 6, it tells us that they were both righteous before God, walking in all of the commandments and the ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Now, when we read that, basically what I just said was they were good people. They were good people. They loved the Lord. They worshiped the Lord. And they were good people. They had long wanted a child. But the scripture says that Elizabeth, she was barren. And kids, what that means is she was unfertile. What that means is she couldn't have kids. And the Word of God also tells us that they were both, in verse 7 of that same chapter, that they were both well stricken in years or in age. And that just meant that they were too old to have children according to nature's cycle of life. Now, I hope we all know, and I hope you've heard me preach it enough, that with God, all things are possible. That the Bible says, with God, there is nothing that is impossible. And the Word of God tells us that an angel appeared, the angel Gabriel appeared unto Zacharias, and he let him know that the prayers that they had prayed, they were answered. Now, I tend to believe that according to their age and where they were at, I don't think they were praying for that child like yesterday. They had been praying for many years, but I think they had come to the terms that perhaps they were beyond that possibility or that opportunity to have children. So the angel appears and tells them, you know, "I've heard your prayers. Not only is Elizabeth going to bear a child, but he went as far as to say that child, it's going to be a boy, it's going to be a son." And it went a little bit further, and the angel said, "Not only are you going to have a child and it's going to be a son, but he said that son, you're going to name him John." I want you to think about the joy. Imagine the joy that they had. And brothers and sisters, just those of you that are here that have had children, just go back in time a little bit to the birth of your own children and think about the joy as they entered into the life and that you experienced in that. And the angel went a little bit further. The angel said, "Not only are you going to be joyful in it, but he went to say, many shall rejoice at his birth." Why? Well, because this child that was going to be born was going to be special. The Bible described him as he was going to be great. Let me share with you. It said, in the sight of the Lord, he would be filled with the Holy Ghost, and many, this is what was going to happen, many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. Verse 16 in that chapter. Well, I'm going to fast forward a little bit further into that chapter, into verse 76, where it tells us that John the Baptist, he was born. And Zacharias said this in verse 76, "And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God. So John was born. He was to prepare the way of Christ, fulfilling, I believe, the prophecy that I read to you in Isaiah chapter 40. Now, let's fast forward to my reading in Luke here. 30 years had passed. The moment for John to begin his ministry had finally arrived. And it was time for John the Baptist to practice the special calling that God had on his life, to prepare the way of the Lord, to make his path straight. You know, in John's day, when a king was going to take a trip, they would send messengers out to those that he was planning to visit to tell them to prepare the roads, to prepare the way for him that was coming. And I want us to understand in like manner today as we're looking at John. John had a purpose in like manner. He was to tell his listeners to make their lives ready so that the Lord could come to them. And in John's Gospel chapter 1 and verse 7, it tells that John came, and it said he came for a witness. He came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. And listen, his focus, as I said, his focus was properly placed, because in verse 8 it tells us that he, John, it said he was not the light, but he was sent to bear witness to that light. That light was Jesus. Jesus was to be the light of the world. In fact, Jesus himself confirmed that in the 8th chapter of John and the 12th verse when it said, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." I wonder this morning, do you have that this morning? I wonder this morning, is Jesus the light of your world this morning? If he's not, I want you to know that he can be. I want you to know that John's message today is that our Lord, he is a leveler. He is the great leveler. He made the gospel available to all men. He made the gospel available to all women. He made the gospel message available to all of humanity. This record that I'm sharing with you from the Gospel of Luke this morning, it was written to a non-Jewish audience. And Luke, as I said, was quoted from Isaiah chapter 40, as I read from my scripture earlier, to show that salvation was, and that salvation still is today, available for all people. It's not just for the Jews. It's not just for an isolated group of people. John the Baptist called all people to prepare to see Jesus. And he was telling them that he, referring to the Lord, that he is no respecter of persons. He's a leveler. He was no respecter of person. What you have or what you don't have materialistically, it doesn't matter to God. What your race is or what your nationality is today, it doesn't matter to God. What you profess to be, your religious affiliation, it doesn't matter to God. What matters to him is the condition of your heart. That you come to him with a repentant heart of faith and that you follow him. The Word of God repeats the message over and over again. It tells us to therefore be ye also ready. For in such an hour as you think not, he cometh. We need to be ready for the coming of the Lord when he comes again. The Word of God tells us to prepare to meet thy God. The Word of God tells us that ye must be born again. My text that I shared this morning from Luke, I want to focus on verse 5 for just a few moments of time. My text said that every valley shall be filled. I want us to know this morning that he wasn't talking about geography. He wasn't talking about valleys filling up. I believe what he was talking about, it had to do with life. It had to do with the life of everybody that lives in this world. And he was referring to different segments of people here. And he said that every valley shall be filled. And what I think that meant, and how fitting for John the Baptist to start at this point, he was talking about meeting those that were the lowly first. And what he meant by that was, he was talking about those who were poor, those who were maybe underprivileged, those who maybe others looked upon as being common, maybe those that were deprived, those that were humble. And he was letting them know that God, that the Lord, he would lift them up. John the Baptist called them, and he told them to prepare. He told them to prepare for the humble believers of the earth. I believe, according to God's word, they shall be saved. They shall receive the Lord Jesus Christ. They shall be enriched. They shall be raised. They shall be exalted, is what the Lord was saying. If you kind of put yourself in that category this morning, as being one of those that he was talking to when it said every valley shall be filled, I was kind of one of those. That's where I would put myself in. You know, I was pretty common. When the Lord spoke peace to my heart, I wasn't called privileged, didn't have a lot, but the Lord, he saved my soul. And when he saved my soul, he enriched my life. He raised me up. He exalted me as a child of God. And what a blessing that was. Are you sure that's the way it is, Pastor? Are you sure about that? Yeah, I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure, because if you remember what I told you in the morning, earlier in my message this morning about this book, I believe what's in here. That's why I'm pretty sure about what I just said to you. And all I have to do to prove that is tell you to think about it. We've all heard the story in Sunday school. If not, go back and read it from the Word of God, the story about the woman at the well, or the Samaritan woman. Listen, as you read that account, or if you're familiar with that account, how that woman, she was in a valley. She was in a valley. She was in trouble. And she spoke to the Lord. The Lord came and the Lord spoke to her. And after talking to Jesus, the scripture tells us that she experienced that inward well of water springing up into everlasting life. Think about the man in scripture by the name of blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus, brothers and sisters, he was in a valley. And the Lord came by and he called out to the Lord. And those that were gathered round about him, what did they do? Shh, shh. They shushed him. They didn't want him calling out to Jesus, but that didn't deter him from calling out to the Lord. And as that account shares with us, after talking to the Lord, it tells us that this man, he experienced healing. I think he experienced a couple of healings. I think he experienced a physical healing from his blindness. And more importantly, I think he experienced a spiritual healing within his heart. Jesus told him to go thy way. Jesus said, thy faith hath made thee whole. No more valleys. The great leveler, the Lord Jesus Christ, he took care of that in that man's life. And there's many others that I could share in Scripture, but time is getting away from me already, and I got more I want to get to. But the Lord saved them. The Lord exalted them. And he did it for many others. And if you're unsaved this morning, your need, I don't know if you know it or not, but you have a need. If you've never been saved, you have a need to be saved. And listen, the need that you have this morning makes you eligible for God's grace. Because the Word of God says, for by grace are you saved through faith. It's not of yourself. It's the gift of God. Let me go a little bit further with this verse. Next, the word said that every mountain and every hill shall be brought low. Again, John the Baptist, he wasn't talking about geography. He wasn't talking about get a bulldozer out there and level these. That's not what he was talking about. He was still talking about life, and he was talking about the great mountains, the less mountains, or the hills. He was talking about the proud in life. And there's a lot of people like that in the world today. Those who think they are better than others, those who are more privileged than others, those who are conceited, those who are arrogant, those who are prideful, those who are boastful. John, he was explaining how that the leveler, how that Jesus eliminates differences with his plan of salvation. It doesn't matter who you are. And what he was saying here was that the those that are proud, they've got to do something before they're going to get helped. And what they've got to do is they got to humble themselves. They got to humble themselves before the Lord. They must prepare to be abased, as the word of Scripture says. And what that word abased means is brought low. They got to be prepared to be brought low before they'll ever be saved. They have to see themselves as God sees them. And listen, they're no different than anybody else. There's no special privilege. If you've got way more money than me, it's not going to help you one bit in salvation. You can't buy salvation. You've got to be humbled before the Lord. And that's exactly what he did. Are you sure, Pastor? Well, again, let me look in God's Word. Think about the difference in attitude between the Pharisee and the publican that we find in God's Word in Luke chapter 18. The Bible said both of them went to the temple to pray. And it said the Pharisee, he prayed, he said, I thank thee, he was talking to God, and he said, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, or even as this publican. That Pharisee was full of himself, wasn't he? That man right there was full of himself. The publican, on the other hand, the Scripture said, standing afar off, he wouldn't lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And I want you to listen to what Jesus said. He said, I tell you this, this man, he was referring to the publican, this man went down to his house justified. He went down to his house saved. He went down to his house right with God. Jesus said, rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. Remember, brought low. And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. As my text said, every mountain and hill shall be brought low. Do you remember the conversation between Jesus and the need of the rich young ruler? He sought Jesus. If you're here and unsaved, I'm going to tell you that's the first thing you're going to have to do. You're going to have to seek the Lord. That's the right thing to do. He sought the Lord. But when he sought the Lord, he came to him and he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? In other words, what must I do that I might be saved? And you can read the entire account in Mark's gospel in the 10th chapter. But I'm just going to speed through that a little bit. Jesus told them what he must do. And Jesus told him that he must be willing to surrender his all and to follow Jesus. And the Scripture said that he, the rich young ruler, that he was sad at the saying. And it said he went away grieved. And what that meant was that he went away lost. He went away unsaved. And he went away and he went away lost and unsaved because he couldn't humble himself and he couldn't commit himself to the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, you will never, if you're not saved and you're here today, I'm telling you this out of love because I want you to know what the truth is. You'll never be saved if you try to tell God how to save you. You'll never be saved that way. You can't tell God how to save you. You can't tell him where to save you. You can't tell him when to save you. The only way that you're going to be saved is by coming the way that the Lord says. You're not the way to salvation. So you can't tell the Lord that. The Bible tells us the way to salvation. In fact, Jesus himself did. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So that's the only way you're going to get there. It's only through and by the Lord. And the problem with pride is, The problem with pride is that it's been around for a long time. Pride is as old as Satan is. In Isaiah chapter 14, you can read the record of it for yourself. But what you'll find there is that Satan desired to exalt himself to be like the Most High. In other words, he wanted to exalt himself so that he could be like or as God himself. That was never going to happen. God said, thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. That's what God said about that. And he will be. If you read God's word, you'll see that. What I'm trying to say is, pride gets in the way of so many people trusting in and finding the Lord precious to their soul. If unsaved today, please don't let pride keep you from salvation. I'll tell you this morning, pride will keep you from seeing yourself as Jesus sees you. Pride will keep you from seeing yourself as a sinner. Pride will keep you from, here's the thing about pride. A lot of people think, and we talked a little bit about this in Sunday school too, pride will have you thinking, well, I'm good enough. I'm good enough to make it into heaven. I'm not a bad person. I don't commit crimes. I try to be nice to everybody. Pride will make you think that you can be good enough to enter into the portals of glory, into heaven. That's exactly what the great deceiver wants you to believe. That's what Satan wants you to believe. But you can't be good enough. Jesus went to the cross of Calvary and paid the sin debt with his life. And as I read already, he's the only way. So what you do isn't going to make a bit of difference. Pride keeps people from responding to the gospel invitation. At the end of my sermon, I'm going to give an invitation. I already know that. But pride will keep a lost sinner sitting in that seat from making a trip down the aisle to an altar of prayer and seeking Jesus. I'm telling you today, don't let pride do that to you. Pride will keep you from being blessed this morning. Pride will keep you from receiving the gift of God and rejoicing in his salvation. John the Baptist's message is very clear. His message is to prepare. And those that are proud, you know, every mountain and hill should be brought low, the scripture said. Those who are proud, they got to be abased. To be saved, you have to let every mountain and hill that's in your life be brought low. Talk about all those things that you want to hold on to. Well, Lord, I'll be saved if I don't have to do this. Or Lord, I'll be saved if you don't make me do this. You got to be abased. You got to get to the place where it's, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. I just need to be saved. I need to be rescued from the penalty of sin. I need to receive your gift. And I'll tell you what, if you can get rid of pride, if you get past pride in your life, you come to the level, or you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And listen, if you'll repent, his gift of salvation will be yours. That's the promise of God. If you'll come to him, he's willing and waiting to help you. Continuing in this verse 5, notice the word said, the crooked shall be made straight. Now, again, we're not talking about a road here. We're talking about life. We think about who we are and what we are. We're a creation of God, certainly, but because of the fall of man, we've got a sinful nature about ourselves. We sin. We commit sin. Paul said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So if you're sitting there saying, not me, well, you're wrong, because God's word is the only source of our faith and practice. And God's word said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And all we got to do is look around ourselves. People around us, they lie. People around us, they cheat. People around us, they steal. People around us do all kinds of immoral activities in their lives. And listen, and if they continue down that broad way, that trigger anything in your mind? Broad way? Narrow way? Hopefully it did. Hopefully you've been here long enough. You know, oh, Matthew chapter 7. He's talking about Matthew chapter 7, verses 14 and 15. Anyway, you're going down that broad way. Jesus said, 13 and 14, close. He says if you're going down that broad way, he tells where that broad way leads to. Its destination leads to destruction, eternal separation from God. The Bible said the wages of sin is death. But here's the good news, literally, the good news, the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has straightened out many crooked ones. Listen, those who trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, they're made straight. The Bible says we're made new. We become a new creature in Christ. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. And through our salvation experience, the Word says, the rough way, it shall be made smooth. Again, Jesus has made many rough ones smooth. Perhaps you're one of them this morning that he's made smooth. I'll tell you this morning, I have seen drunkards. I have seen those that were addicted to drugs and all kinds of other addictions. I've seen them become spokesmen and spokeswomen for the Lord and for the church because of the Lord changing their path and making the rough road smooth. I have seen those who have used their tongue for cursing. I've seen those who have used their tongue for swearing become tongues that speak blessings unto the Lord. My point is this. Jesus, he specializes in making the rough ones smooth. I always say we're all a work in progress, but when the Lord saved our soul and placed the indwelling of the Spirit of God in our hearts, we're not who we used to be. We are that new creature in Christ, and we're growing through the process of sanctification every single day of our life where the Lord can use us in a very special way. The message of John the Baptist is a powerful message, even yet today. Although he preached it many years ago, it's still a very powerful message today. And that message is simply that the Lord Jesus Christ, he is a leveler when it comes to salvation. He has eliminated all differences among people. And when I think about what he has done, I guess my conclusion in this is all those other things, there's really only two types or two kinds of people after Jesus has leveled it all out. Either saved or unsaved. That's where it's at. None of the other stuff matters. And no matter which category you followed in, whether the valley's being filled up or the mountains being brought low or the crooked way being straightened and the rough places being made smooth, the Lord brings it all down. We're all just on that same plane. And isn't it wonderful to know that because of that, we can be saved. We can come to know the Lord. And again, we're either saved or unsaved. Which are you this morning? If you're saved this morning, you ought to be praising God that you have that gift and be using the gift of God in a way that was pleasing unto the Lord. If you're here this morning and you haven't been saved, he'll change you from what you are to what you should be according to what God wants you to be. And that should be the desire of our hearts. And Brother Allen, if you'll come, we'll have a song of invitation. And if you'll come to the Lord Jesus in faith, the teaching of the Word of God is that you can find all things new in Christ. And isn't it wonderful that he can remove that burden that we have in our hearts, and he can replace it with that wonderful peace that he places within our hearts? Sometimes I think those in the world don't understand that statement. Those of you that are saved this morning, you know what I'm talking about, removing that burden and replacing peace. You remember the trouble that you experienced in your soul when you came to an understanding that, you know what, I don't have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I have never repented of my sins. Listen, I'm going to just say this. I know the world is filled with all kinds of philosophies and teachings, but again, I'm going back to this. The Word of God said, except a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. The Bible says that it requires repentance and faith. There's too many in the world that are preaching another gospel that just says, make a decision for the Lord. Just turn your life around. Turn your life around for the Lord. Let me tell you something this morning. If there is no repentance, there is no salvation. Don't be too proud to repent. And ask the Lord to forgive sin in your life. We all have it. We all had to do that are here that are saved. We had to get to a place. And when I mean a place, I'm not talking about this physical place, although this is a good place. But we had to get to a place in our life where we understood the teachings of God's glorious gospel. Separation from God because of sin. That's what happened when Adam and Eve fell. It created this nature that we have. But thanks be to God for his love for humanity, and thanks be to the love of Jesus Christ for humanity, he fixed it by going to the cross of Calvary and made salvation possible for all people who will come to him with a repentant heart of faith. And when we do that with all sincerity, the teaching of God's word is he'll save you. And that's what I'm talking about. When I was convicted of my sins, when I knew that I was not in a relationship with the Lord and I was lost, and I knew that God's word teaches that in that condition, if I died, I'd spend eternity separated and apart from God. That don't sound too bad, does it? Until you say in hell, which is a real place. That got my attention. I didn't want to go to that place. And I knew I needed Jesus. And I sought the Lord. I was 9 years old. Most of you know my story, but I'll just, for those that may not, I was 9 years old when that burden of conviction came upon my heart. And, you know, I made my way to an altar in a church much like this one. It wasn't this one, but one like it. And my spot would be right over here. That's where I got down on my knees and I prayed and asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins. My heart was coming out of my chest as that altar call was being given because I knew that he was talking about me. I didn't know Jesus. And if I died in that condition, I was in trouble. But you know, when I got down and I prayed, and I got serious with God and asked him to save my soul, this is what I'm talking about, the peace. Like that burden left me. I wasn't worried about dying in my sins and going to hell because I had an assurance that the Lord put in my heart, that peace that he put in my heart, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and I knew then that I was bound for God's kingdom. Whenever it was, I didn't know when it was. I'm still walking this pathway, but I know where I'm going when I get there. And there's a peace. There is just a peace about knowing Jesus as your personal Savior. Let's stand together. Do you know him today? He's the great leveler. There's nothing that's standing in your way today that can't be moved by the Lord. He's making the path clear for you this morning to come to him with a repentant heart of faith and find peace. Will you come? Brother Allen. Will you surrender all this morning?